This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Joining us now is Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, a Democrat who represents Michigan's 12th District, and Fred Upton, Congressman from Michigan's 6th District, a Republican who was just elected for his 18th term. Congresswoman Dingell, Congressman Upton, very nice to hear from you both. Thank you for joining us after what must have been a long night.
A long couple months, but I think you can probably call us Fred and Debbie.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, both of you.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
You know, it appears that in yesterday's election results, there were no counties in either the 12th district, Debbie's, or the 6th district, Fred's, that experienced a substantial shift between Republican and Democratic leanings. I wanted to ask if that was a surprise to you, given what a volatile year it's been. Debbie Dingell, would you start us off?
No, it didn't surprise me, especially the counties that Fred and I represent are counties that people pretty much know where they stand. I do think, though, that we've got to take a very serious look, no matter which party you are, Democrat or Republican, at what happened, how divided we are, why we're so divided, and how we can do a better job of reaching out to those that don't feel connected to either of our parties, and how we all do a better job of working together.
Fred Upton, what do you make of the fact that there's been so little movement between polling, say, in January and the election results that are developing today?
Well, you know, we have divided government, and it really is up to us leaders to try to put those differences behind us. One of the things that Debbie and I have worked very hard on with other members of our Michigan delegation, both Republican and Democrat, is this group called the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus. In fact, Debbie and I are two of the vice chairs of that group, 50 members. I think that you'll see that number expand in the next Congress, but we leave our political labels at the door. We work together. We had a lot of very positive issues where we actually did get things done. But just to close, you know, we have divided government. No side here was going to get, you know, 60 votes in the Senate or be even a wider disparity in the House. The only way to get things done is if you work together. And that's one of the things that's been one of my big planks, one of my philosophies. And it certainly helped us in this election, as people know that that's what I'm not afraid to do. And Debbie did the same thing.
Right. Debbie, I know who you were campaigning for, for sure. Fred, you have had differences with Donald Trump during his presidency. May I ask, did you decide to vote for him?
I did. I announced that a while ago, some time ago. But I would say that Debbie's probably had some pretty big differences with the president as well. And I've come to her defense on it, as I think a lot of us should. But yeah, I 4 years ago, I had never met him. I did not endorse him. We said we're going to stay in our own lane. This time, a number of months ago, I said, look, I'm a Republican. I'm going to vote for the ticket. And Trump knows that, you know, I've had big policy differences with him. I'm not afraid to say that. And I've had big policy supportive issues with people like former President Obama and President Bush. So it's not a surprise. And, you know, whether it's the Great Lakes or autos or other things that I'm gonna really look to Michigan to stand up for, and not afraid to take on the president when I think he's wrong. And if it becomes President Biden, he and I have had a strong relationship on a number of fronts when he was vice president. I'll not be afraid to support him on a number of initiatives where I think that he's right.
Mm-hmm. Fred, do you think that President Trump's strong support in Michigan among Republican voters is a statement that within the party, the ends justify the means?
Well, he was a different candidate. He ran a different campaign. He had not, you know, run for other office. It's not the way I would have run a campaign, but for him, you know, he 95% of the Republicans in the base supported him, and he knew that. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how this is going to fare. Is we got a couple of states that are out, but you know, he worked very hard at the end and made it pretty close, as a lot of us thought that he would.
Debbie Dingell, if the Republican Party as we know it today is defined by Donald Trump and the support that he has seen both in swing states and places that are more Republican strongholds, the question has been asked. You know, the Donald Trump has made it impossible for candidates who would rather not talk about him, like Alyssa Slotkin and Haley Stevens. You know, they still kind of have to react. What is the Democratic Party's identity right now beyond the party of resistance?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party cares deeply about the economy, about jobs, about health care, ensuring that every American has access to health care, protecting our natural resources and the environment, global climate change. I think we've got to talk about how we approach those issues, what are the right answers. And I truly do think, and I've said this several times in the last couple of days, that both parties need to look at who we're not connecting with, or really do some soul searching. And I think that the Democratic Party needs to take a serious look at how a lot of working men and women, a lot of union workers, don't feel like Democrats care about them, or that we look down on them, or that we don't fight for the issues that matter to them every day.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, Democrat representing Michigan's 12th, and Fred Upton, Republican from Michigan's 6th District. And they were both reelected yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about election challenges. President Trump's campaign has said that it is filing a lawsuit asking for an end to the vote count in Michigan. We're starting to see reports of Trump supporters down at the TCF Center chanting, encouraging a stop to a count. And we know the Trump campaign is requesting a recount in Wisconsin, or at least has stated its intention to do so. I wanted to ask you both, do you foresee there will be any kind of recount in Michigan? Fred Upton, will you go first?
Well, you know, traditionally when you have a recount, it's because it's so close, and usually it's the one who's designated as the loser asked for it, to think that they might be able to change some votes. You got to wait for the canvas, the official canvas, to conclude. But Michigan law is pretty clear. The ballots, if they're received by 8 p.m. on election day, they have to be counted. And I know that today in my district, because of the surge in voting, which is something I support, we want everyone to vote, because of the absentee ballot volume, physically, some of my counties weren't able to count the ballots until today, the next day. They were received by 8 p.m. Either people dropped them off or the post office delivered them before then. But they couldn't, I think by law, count them until the morning of election day.
Right, towns under 25,000. Yeah.
So they couldn't start like last week, knowing that they had boatloads of these ballots that were, you know, returned on time. And they physically didn't have the staff or the machines to get it done. But at the end of the process, if a ballot was delivered by 8 p.m. on election night, it absolutely needs to be counted. And that time needs to be taken for that ballot to be counted versus, oh, time's up, even though you got a, you know, boatload of ballots that aren't in yet or that haven't been counted, but they were received. Yes, they need to be counted. And that, I mean, whatever time it takes, they need to be in. Otherwise, that voter was disenfranchised, even though he or she followed all the rules as prescribed by Michigan law.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if this election is as close as it appears, technically there is a pathway by which, if there's a tie in the Electoral College, it could be decided by the U.S. Congress. Debbie Dingell, do you think this might come down to it?
I think that is a possibility, but as I am seeing the numbers right now, Wisconsin was declared a victory an hour or two ago. It looks like Michigan's well on that path. Arizona looks like that will be in the Biden camp. Nevada is looking good. I think that there will be enough electoral votes that Joe Biden will have what's needed for him to be president. Hmm.
Debbie Dingell, do you think the Electoral College is still serving its purpose?
I think about this a lot. I guess I'm a traditionalist. I think that our forefathers, wish there had been some women, did a very good job of writing our Constitution and some of that have served our democracy very well. And you do need to have, when you've got a democracy with 50 plus unique geographical areas such as we do, and the balance of the majority and the minority and so many other things, you've got to look at what is the right way to keep us united as the United States of America versus the popular vote. And you could have a situation where California, Texas, New York, and Florida could totally control the other, you know, maybe one or two others. So I think we have to be very careful when we start to tinker with things that keep our democracy fundamentally working the way that it has for more than 200 years.
Yeah. Fred Upton, what do you say about this? President Trump has cast doubts on the use of the Electoral College, even though he benefited from it in 2016.
Yeah, so an interesting exercise will be 2 years from now when we actually know what the new electoral counts are going to be. You know, remember, these are based on the census counts, and it's expected that Michigan was going to lose a congressional seat, so we will then lose electoral vote as well in 2024, and that vote will be transferred to Arizona or Florida or Texas or someplace. And so it'll be interesting to look at whatever happens in 2020, what would it have been in 2024, knowing that New York, I think, is going to lose two seats. So that would be two votes taken away from Biden. Illinois is going to lose two seats. That would take two electoral votes away from Biden, give them to maybe a Republican state. I'm not sure exactly where they're going to go, but see where that new equation is going to be. So it's that Electoral College is in essence redone every 10 years. But here's the bottom line. It's in the Constitution. As Debbie said, it's worked for 200 some years now. To change it would require a 2/3 vote of both the House and the Senate, as well as the states. Constitutional amendments are very hard to pass. Is that likely to happen? Really not. So this is a somewhat of a futile exercise, because it just isn't going to happen in today's world, knowing that it gets revamped every 10 years because of the census.
You two have worked hard and worked together to bring people a sense of normalcy in the political process and an understanding that people of different parties can work together. Have you talked about how you might maintain that during a contested election? Wait, that's a very long pause, you two.
Fact of the matter is, people don't. Fred and I are best friends. As is his wife, Amy. We talk every day. We push each other. We talk about what's happening. We try to figure out, how can we get this solved? How do we get people to look at things differently? How do you listen to different perspectives we don't agree on? But we actually probably agree on more than we disagree. But the fact of the matter is that we can have some pretty strong disagreements too. But we both know that right now it is extremely important that people stay calm, that we count every vote, every person's vote matters, that we've got to protect our democracy, and we have to let the rule of the law work. And we're both united in ensuring that we keep our state and our country strong and calm, and count every vote, and we'll get through this.
Yeah, I would agree. We do have to, and we have to work together. And again, it's going to be a closely divided House, a closely divided Senate. The only way to get things done is if you work with the other side. You take the best ideas, and you put them together, and you move forward. And that's what That's what I'm all about. That's what I know Debbie's all about. We're not for, you know, spinning windmills and passing stuff that has no chance of, you know, in a day of getting done. It's what, how can we make this place better? How can we ensure the trust of our voters, our constituents, even if they're not voters, clearly, but making this a better place. And I've got a lot of Democratic friends. Debbie's got a lot of Republican friends.
Well, is there a motivation, though, to do things differently with both parties hanging on to these entrenched voter blocks and just sort of holding on to their turf by very thin margins? I guess anything could happen once Michigan's Congressional Redistricting Commission gets into its next phase. But really, I mean, the current system seems to be completely built on delivering narrow victories in places where they're a sure thing.
Well, my district is, yeah, all right. My district's like a perfect square, Southwest Michigan. There's no mosquito-looking part of the district at all. I mean, it's really a perfect square. Most of our districts are like that in Michigan. Now, my district is viewed as an R+2. So if you had two people, same name, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, the Republican would win by 2 points. So I won last night by, 18 points? Not all the votes are done yet. And it's because people know that I'm not a rubber stamp. And, you know, I don't know who's going to ultimately win my district. It's close between Biden or Trump. But if I was if it was a purely partisan district, I would have lost with Bill Clinton back in the 90s. I won then. He won my district. Obama won my district. So did Fred Upton. So there's something to be said about when voters understand that you're just not a rubber stamp and you're going to do your best to listen and react and do what's best for the folks in the state as well as your district.
Debbie, we have about a minute left. How would you answer this? Is there an argument to be made to get colleagues on board at a time like this?
Well, we absolutely have to get colleagues on board. You know, I would also just quickly say what Fred said. My district is one of the most diverse districts in the country. It has everything from the UAW workers and auto plants downriver to the liberals and progressives of Ann Arbor in a university town. It's why I predicted before Republicans predicted that Donald Trump could win 4 years ago. But last week when I was out, a group of President Trump supporters came in their trucks and surrounded, might have been trying to disrupt something we were doing, but I talked to them for 20 minutes. We got to talk to each other. We got to listen to each other. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And I'm going to listen and talk to everybody. As Joe Biden says, I represent everybody. I don't represent you red, you blue. I represent everybody.
Congresswoman Debbie Dingell and Congressman Fred Upton. Fred, Debbie, take care of yourselves. Thanks for talking with us.
You bet.
Thank you.
After the break, two political strategists from the state's capital on how work in Lansing may change. That's in just a minute. You're listening to Stateside.